Blog Talk Radio.
You're now listening to
Hot Takes
with
Nolan and Eric.
Welcome to another edition of Hot Takes. I am Eric Nifong. You can find me on Twitter at @E_Nifong. I'm joined by Nolan Haig. You can find him on Twitter at @NJH09. And the fall just keeps rolling right along here as we have the NBA kicking off next week. For real, the games start to matter, and we'll be bringing our NBA preview show next week. So pretty excited about that. We're in the thick of the NBA playoff or MLB playoff race. And the NFL regular season and college football is starting to hit its midpoint here. So I have quite a bit to talk about tonight. I know we're going to talk about some football, but a lot of baseball playoffs on the slate tonight.
Yeah, we got a lot to go over. A lot has definitely happened since last week when we were able to do a show. So, yeah, we might as well get right into it.
Yeah, and let's hope for no technical difficulty this time, as I was kicked off the show.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
10 minutes beforehand, and we didn't get to our picks, but we still have them here, and we'll go over them. So let's do it.
Okay, let's go.
All right, kick it off here. We had a big game on paper. That was number 1 Alabama and number 9 Tennessee. We both thought Alabama would just run away with this, and that's what they did. Tennessee, of course, started off like they have all year, falling behind, and we both knew that this was a team that you couldn't do that to, and Alabama would roll, and they did that. I predicted 63-3, and it wasn't quite that. It was 49-14, and I don't think the SEC is very strong beyond Alabama this year. I think Tennessee's got away with quite a bit of luck here, and we'll really find out on Saturday if there's anyone that can really compete with them.
No, yeah, I mean, Texas A&M's obviously the only other team that's undefeated at this point, I think. And I don't have a lot of faith in them at this point. Yeah, it seems to be like Alabama, Ohio State, and everybody else. At this point, but yeah, like you said, okay, all right. I mean, yeah, I guess I can't argue with you there, but yeah, no, it's just yeah, there doesn't really seems to be fewer and fewer good teams every year, or at least those dominant teams anyway, but yeah, no, Alabama was great again. They just continue to be to score from as much on defense and special teams as on offense, it seems. I think they've got 11 non-offensive touchdowns this year. It's definitely going to help if you don't need all your points coming from just your offense. But, yeah, no, I doubt they even really need it. But, yeah, we're going to get to see Texas A&M next week. And hopefully they can put up a fight, because if not, it's definitely Alabama's conference.
Oh, yeah, if A&M can't pick up a victory on Saturday, it's a wrap. I know we'll be getting to our picks later, and that's one of them. But, yeah, you mentioned that it looks like Alabama, Ohio State, and could throw Michigan up there and the rest of the pack. I would have thrown Clemson in there, but they really got away with one on Saturday thanks to the North Carolina State's kicker being not so good. And, really, it's going to be interesting coming down the stretch here. Of course, Ohio State and Michigan have to play each other, so One of those teams aren't going to be undefeated, and it's going to be interesting here as we get closer. Still a lot of ways to go, and we could possibly see our first two-loss team in a playoff. It's possible, but we'll just have to see here.
I definitely would say that's definitely in play here at this point. Even when you're talking about Ohio State and Michigan, I'm not even fully convinced that both of those teams will be undefeated when they play each other. It's last game of the year, right? Isn't that usually how it is?
Yeah, last game or second to last, it's pretty close.
Right.
There.
With the way things are going, I mean, Ohio State probably should have lost to Wisconsin. I mean, I guess to kind of transition into that next game, it wasn't looking too good for them there for a while.
Yeah, no, Wisconsin was playing really well. Their defense was holding Ohio State, but Ohio State eventually got a little rhythm going on offense and was able to put up some points on the board, and Wisconsin's offense struggles to score. I believe they have a true freshman starting at quarterback, so that didn't really help whenever they went to overtime.
Yeah,
and,
corny brood.
Yeah, Ohio State just pulled it out there at the end.
Yeah, I mean, Wisconsin's problem was, especially in the first half, they didn't have a lot of trouble moving the ball. They just couldn't get the ball in the end zone. I think a lot of that falls on Hornibrook just being a true freshman and still not being able to command that offense yet. So, I mean, it's a heck of an effort from Wisconsin. Was a little upset with the play calling there after they got down to the four there in overtime. It was a real good play to get down there inside the five there, and then they just kind of I don't know what really happened, but you got to get the ball in the end zone inside the five there.
Yeah, most definitely. And to quote Alshon Jeffrey here, you see what happens when we don't score touchdowns. We got to score touchdowns to win, and that's what they
right.
did in Wisconsin.
Ohio State definitely still a really good team. They didn't get down, came back on the road against a tough division opponent or conference opponent. So more power to them. They're still locked in there at number two.
Yeah, most definitely. And I guess we could switch here to a team that's definitely not getting talked about, but they are also an undefeated Big Ten team, and this is Nebraska. And this was your upset pick. You picked Indiana to upset them. It was close. Indiana had a shot at the end, but Nebraska was able to get a game-sealing interception at the end and stay undefeated here. So do you want to talk about that, any?
I don't know. I don't really believe in Nebraska. They haven't been good in however long. They're 6-0 for the first time in 15 years, I think it was. They got out to a lead and kind of tried to coast to a victory, it seemed. But Indiana tried to have other plans and then ended up kind of having a crazy play where they had two safeties run into each other. Ended up being the score that Nebraska needed to kind of maintain its distance and eventually kick another field goal to stay ahead. But yeah, Nebraska actually looks pretty good. Don't know if they're going to be right up in that next tier. I mean, that's obviously yet to be seen. They've actually got to play Wisconsin and then Ohio State. So I think back to back. So gonna definitely find out real quick if they're for real.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think that they're a playoff caliber team, but I think they could win 10 games here. So definitely a really good season for them and pretty unexpected. You said that they hadn't been in the limelight in a long time, and it looks like they might be getting back to that point here a little bit. So definitely interesting to watch Nebraska the rest of the season and for the next few years or so.
Yeah, college football's definitely better with a good Nebraska team. It's just, yeah, kind of forgot what that looked like.
Yeah, they haven't really been too good since I've been able to really enjoy college football for all its worth. So it would be nice to see them kind of make a comeback here. But moving on here to the NFL,
sure.
We picked a couple games here. We had first Cowboys-Packers. I went Packers, you went Cowboys, you still believed, and I am off the Aaron Rodgers bandwagon after this game. He has looked pretty dreadful so far this season. He's not hitting passes, you just seen him hit. He's not putting the ball in the right location, and he looks not Aaron Rodgers like here. Do you notice the same thing?
Yeah, no, he's something's definitely not right. He even kind of weirdly hinted at it. I think he said something to the effect of, yeah, he's just a little off. And yeah, I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's play calling, if it's for some reason he just isn't comfortable with the offense right now. It doesn't make any sense to me, really. The offensive line's better than it has been in the past. You'd think he'd be a little more comfortable, but maybe he's one of those guys that just likes to respond to the adversity. The only other thing that I could possibly think of is that maybe nothing's the thing that's different is the weapons. I mean, Eddie Lacy hasn't really been that consistent and hasn't stayed on the field really at times. Randall Cobb might not be that good, and Jordy Nelson just might not be the same coming off that ACL. So it's entirely possible that his weapons are just starting to kind of fail him.
Yeah, I could see that. I just it shouldn't matter, really.
He's
a great quarterback.
But,
he's one of the top quarterbacks, and a lot of these throws, he's just not hitting receivers where he's normally hit him. He's usually making it very easy on the receiver's job and hitting them in stride, and as they're going, he's kind of throwing it behind him. He's throwing them high, and, he doesn't really look like the guy we've seen over the last 5 or 6 years here, and it's really kind of head-scratching.
Yeah, like you said, the accuracy is off, and that's one of the things that he's, you know, been lauded for is how perfectly he can play, his ball placement can be, and just, you know, touch and everything. But it doesn't make a lot of sense. It's got to be frustrating for Packers fans and just the Packers in general. We've got the best quarterback in the league. Why aren't we doing better? But it's not as bad as, like, let's say the Colts. If you take Andrew Luck off the Colts are probably the worst team in the league easily. But if Aaron Rodgers isn't performing well, then yeah, the Packers are just an average team, and that's not how it's supposed to be.
Yeah, definitely not. I know the Packers were a lot of people's Super Bowl picks this year, and right now it's not looking good. Still 4-2, but yeah, they need to he needs to figure something out and really get it rolling here as the second half of the season starts to go here.
So I guess next on the other side of the game, then I guess we got to talk about Dak and Tony Romo, right?
I mean, if we have to.
What? No, you don't want to talk about the future and the great battles that Carson Wentz and Dak Prescott are going to have for the next decade.
I don't think Dak's that good.
Okay. So you're saying bring Romo back to bring it back to, you know, the relevant conversation.
No, No. Definitely the guy they should roll with here, and he is definitely their quarterback of the future. I can't deny that. I just don't think he is as good as he's performing right now, as weird as that sounds. I think he's a huge benefit of his offensive line and Ezekiel Elliott. More than Dak Prescott, those two things are playing at another level right now. Ezekiel Elliott is on pace to break Eric Dickerson's rookie rushing record. He has four straight games of at least 130 rushing yards. That's never been done before. I think a lot of it is that, and I think a lot of teams are having to try and stop that, and it's hard because the offensive line's so good, so he still gets his yards, and that really opens it up for Dak, who is hitting a lot of underneath passes here to Cole Beasley and Jason Witten.
Yeah.
He definitely has the poise of a 10-year veteran. I mean, you can't deny that. No interceptions. He doesn't look like anything gets to him at times, and he definitely looks like he's a legit starting NFL quarterback. I know a lot of people are comparing it to the Drew Bledsoe and Tom Brady and also Drew Bledsoe, Tony Romo thing, but let's not get ahead of ourselves. This defense is also playing out of its mind right now, a defense that a lot of people coming in thought would be one of the worst defenses in the league, but Morris Claiborne seems to have found his niche again, and Brandon Carr is playing really well on the opposite side of him, and also the kid they drafted the year before, Byron Jones, is playing really good as well. If they had a better pass rush, that defense would be top three in the league. And, credit as Dak's been getting, I think a lot of the other team deserves most of the credit here. But it lives and dies by the quarterback, and I know that.
No, definitely. I mean, you can't ignore the offensive line allowing him to be as cool as he is in the pocket. I mean, when you're not facing a whole lot of pressure, it's pretty. I mean, it should be relatively easy to just sit back there and make your reads, especially I swear to God, I've only seen him throw the ball to Cole Beasley anytime the Cowboys have been on my TV on Sunday. It seems like everything's kind of short and underneath. He did make a couple nice throws against Green Bay, had the one in the end zone.
The Bryce Butler, that was nice, yeah.
Yeah, maybe this is just me, but for some I just feel like when Tony Romo comes back, you let Tony Romo play just because the offense, the ceiling for the offense can be higher. I mean, you're going to get Dez Bryant back eventually, and if you get Tony Romo back, you're going to be able to use Dez Bryant. So, and that's always going to open up your offense. Tony Romo's going to have, that full grasp of it. You're still going to have that running game with Ezekiel. You're still going to have the great offensive line to keep your quarterback clean. Worst case scenario, Tony Romo gets hurt or plays terribly, and you go back to Dak again if you have to. But, like you said, the team itself is, the defense has been over achieving a little bit. Hopefully, or I'm thinking a lot of that probably has to do with Sean Lee actually being healthy. Definitely helps there in the middle. But like you said, the corners are playing good, and they're just playing. They're just a good team. What's up with the NFC East actually kind of being good?
Well, I mean, you mentioned here a couple things. Morris Claiborne is actually the top-rated corner in all the NFL by Pro Football Talk. That's something I don't think anyone expected. He has struggled mightily his first few years here. So maybe he finally found what he was drafted for. I mean, he was, fourth overall, fifth overall here?
He was up there.
If he starts playing, then the Cowboys are going to be in good shape for years to come here. I don't think you can go with Tony Romo now. Dak has this offense rolling. They have this confidence. They're a young team. The team's really not used to playing with Tony Romo besides Witten and Dez Bryant, so they're not going to really care, I don't think. And I think you look to trade both Tony Romo and Dez Bryant. See what you can get.
You have
the receivers. I mean, Cole Beasley, Terrence Williams is a nice player, and Bryce Butler has really stepped up. And Dez Bryant really is just kind of a headache. He hasn't been able to stay healthy the last couple years. See what you can get for him. I don't know. Why not?
You just want Dez Bryant out of the division. And, I mean, if I'm Tony Romo and then the Cowboys come to me and say, yeah, we can't cut you because your contract's ridiculous, so we're going to trade you, I'd say, nah, that's cool. I'm just going to retire.
Jets need a quarterback.
I mean, there's no point. That'd be no.
All right, I'm just saying.
Especially if he's going to break his back again. And trading to Dez Bryant is just ridiculous. You don't do that.
That is not ridiculous. That is not ridiculous.
No.
It's not like he's the best receiver in the league.
If Tony Romo still wants to play, you see what you can get for Tony Romo, but Dez Bryant, no.
I can name eight players better than Dez Bryant right now. Receivers.
Okay, that doesn't mean you're going to bring that guy in when you get rid of him.
They don't need him. They haven't
Julio's not walking through that door when you let go of Dez Bryant. Antonio Brown's not walking through that door.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Dak's not throwing it to him anyway, so they don't need.
Right, so that's
Dez
what I'm saying.
Bryant.
You keep Dez Bryant because you've already got him under contract, and then you let him.
What if you can get a pass?
And then you hope that Dez eventually throws to it. You draw up plays to make him the read. But
what if you can get a pass rusher? They need pass rushing really bad.
I don't know. I don't know. This is why we're not Jerry Jones.
he'll probably roll with.
All right, we should probably move on to baseball. The Dodgers are up 6-0. Anybody needed an update.
All right. Hold on. Let's finish these picks here. We'll go through them.
Okay.
Falcons, Seahawks.
Oh, right. We have one more game to talk about.
Yeah, and my upset pick.
Right.
Falcons, Seahawks. We both picked Seahawks, Falcons. Really battled back. Seahawks held a 17-3 lead, but the Falcons actually came back, took a 24-17 lead. But an Earl Thomas interception and Russell Wilson drive put Seahawks back on top. For good there at the end, and they were able to hold on, and it looks like the Seahawks are back to the team that we saw going back-to-back Super Bowls here, and looks very dangerous in the NFC now.
They played three good quarters, I guess. That third quarter kind of got away from them. Atlanta scoring 21 points and getting back into the game. And I wouldn't so much call that Earl Thomas interception. I'd probably describe it more as a Julio Jones drop. That ball went right through his hands. He probably needs to come up with that. Otherwise, I mean, you'd think, right, but, I mean, let's be for real. I'm just saying.
That's defensive player of the year, Earl Thomas.
It's all on Julio. Julio needs to catch that ball. Like, you expect Earl Thomas to make that play, just the way it kind of happened. But there was also some pass interference calls that weren't called, I guess, kind of late there that people were kind of upset about, saying the Seahawks kind of typically get these calls at home. But I don't know. One of them looks pretty bad, but it's just one of those things. I mean, pass interference, it's called so often that it's kind of refreshing when it's not called, for me anyway. Sometimes you just got to let the guys play, especially in big moments. So, you know, if a call or so or what or a call here and there gets missed, I'm not going to be too upset about it.
Yeah, I didn't think it was the Richard Sherman one at the end on Julio Jones. I didn't think it was that egregious. I think you could go back to film from the whole game and see guys kind of doing that and getting away with it throughout the game. I know it was a big moment.
Right, and
that,
it's not like the Seahawks aren't known for doing that anyway.
Yeah, and I mean, as much as the rules are favored towards offenses today, you're right. It is refreshing sometimes when they kind of just let them play. So I wasn't that – I didn't care that much about it. But then again, I'm not a Falcons fan, so.
Yeah. So,
it
right.
It is what it is.
Which, actually, yeah, no. But, all right, well, what was your upset?
My upset was the Chiefs over the Raiders, and I nailed it.
Oh, that that was like a pick 'em. actually, you know what? By noon, that that line was Chiefs minus -2, so that shouldn't count.
Didn't you pick USC over Colorado?
Yeah, but Colorado was ranked. different rules apply in college.
Oh, okay.
But I mean, what? Okay, so what do you want to say about that game then?
The Chiefs actually played a full game, and they looked pretty good when they did that. So, yeah, you would have liked to see them score more touchdowns, maybe, but it was really it rained a lot, and they should have had more points. And Cairo Santos missed an extra point and a field goal, but he kind of redeemed himself with a couple field goals at the end. So, yeah, Chiefs looked good when they played all four quarters here, and Derek Carr just did not look very good the whole game.
Yeah, no, D Ford actually had some sacks, but early on at least they weren't getting to Derek Carr, but they were at least pressuring him a little bit, especially on that interception, that terrible throw to that Marcus Peters just kind of had to wait on. Yeah, no, the Chiefs looked good. They finally stuck to running the ball, gave it to Spencer Ware a bunch, which is seems to be a good recipe. Jamaal Charles got back in there, scored a touchdown. He looked fresh. It was nice to see him a couple first down runs he had in that touchdown. I think the most important thing is that Alex Smith didn't have to throw the ball that much. Only threw it 22 times, and the couple times that he threw downfield, he looked pretty good. So the AFC is a mess after New England, and I mean, Pittsburgh would be right up there too, but always they have, you know, somebody suspended or somebody hurt, so it's pretty wide open after New England. No idea what's going to happen. So the NFL.
Yeah. Beyond New England, I wouldn't even put Pittsburgh up there. They're too
up. Well, no, not now. Now that Roethlisberger's, you don't know what's going on there. I mean, he's going to be out at least until after their bye. So.
Yeah. Definitely. So, yeah, we'll have to see where that goes here. That wraps up our picks here. 4-1. You went 4-1. I got my upset. So I'm 5-5, 1-1 on the upsets. You're 7-3, and 1-1 on your upsets. So that's how we sit after 2 weeks of hot picks this time around.
All right. I guess let's talk as much baseball as we can now.
Let's do it. All right. Well, I guess we should talk here about a game that happened earlier. The Blue Jays were able to avoid the sweep, end up winning, I think, 5-1 over the Indians.
Yeah.
And force a game 5 tomorrow night tomorrow night in Toronto. And, do you think the Blue Jays have a shot of coming back and making this thing a series?
I would have said no if Cleveland hadn't pitched Kluber today. They decided to go with him on 3 days rest. You know, it's always kind of a, isn't really going to make a difference. there's a lot of speculation beforehand, that kind of deal. And I mean, he wasn't terrible, only pitched 5 innings, gave up 4 hits and allowed 2 runs, but, Cleveland's offense, yeah, didn't do enough. Kind of, it seems like Cleveland's pitching staff is getting wore a little thin here. You obviously got Trevor Bauer with his injury bleeding quite profusely from his hand last night. So you don't know what's going on there or how they're going to – and it seems like their bullpen got a little – I mean, seemed like you had Miller and Allen coming out just about every night. So if they can't win tomorrow, it's really starting to look iffy.
Yeah, I actually think that they'll finish off in game 6. I think there's that they don't win tomorrow. They're sending out a guy who's pitched 11 career innings here tomorrow. So that's not good. And should be in the Blue Jays' favor. So, yeah, if the Blue Jays can continue to get decent pitching like they have been, they just haven't been able to put their offense together here, I think they'll be in decent shape to make this thing a series. I don't know. I just think that these teams that rely on the long ball too much are just they're doomed when they get to this point because they don't have anything. The air gets cold. The ball doesn't fly. They don't know how to put runs together. And I think that's ultimately going to be the Blue Jays' demise here when they have to go back to Cleveland.
Yeah, I don't know what it is, but they hit what seemed like all the home runs in that first series. And then everything just went quiet. And yeah, if you're that team that relies on home runs, then yeah, runs are definitely going to be hard to come by. But yeah, if they can take this production from today into tomorrow and get some momentum going with a win tomorrow, then who knows? I mean, if the bats go hot, then then it's going to be hard to beat, but I would probably go with Cleveland winning tomorrow, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's just it's kind of what happened last year. I mean, they did have the one game against Kansas City where they scored 12 runs. But yeah, they were hitting home runs against Texas in the first round, and they got to the ALCS, and their bats just really went really quiet. And I think that says a lot to about Cleveland's bullpen, or not their bullpen, just their pitching staff in general. And the Blue Jays relying on their power a little too much here. And I guess the same thing could be said about the Cubs because they're really struggling. Not a spot that a lot of people had them in, down 2-1 to the Dodgers with 2 more games here in L.A. It's the first time the Cubs have been shut out in a postseason and back-to-back nights in their franchise history, which is pretty telling from a team that hasn't won anything in a very, very long time. They don't look like the team from the regular season. Anthony Rizzo, I believe, is 0-for-23 in the playoffs so far. Addison Russell is hitting nothing. He's actually getting taken out late in ball games, and that's unheard of because that guy has some of the best defense at shortstop, but he just can't hit the ball. We all know Jason Hayward struggles all season. Really, the only guy is Javi Baez and their catchers and pitchers hitting the ball here. I think in these last 2 games, they've had 1 double, and that came in the 8th inning tonight to Dexter Fowler. Other than that, they've had combined like 6 hits, all of them singles. The things are not looking very good in the Windy City right now.
Yeah, definitely a lot of expectations with this team throughout the year and even before the year. And yeah, it would definitely be a shame if you get another disappointment there on the north side. It all looks set up for him, especially when you got the winner of two of the worst underachievers in the National League the past few years, when you were going to get the Nationals and the Dodgers, and now the Dodgers showed up and are ready to play. Clayton Kershaw has been great in the postseason, like you so kindly pointed out before we went on. Kind of shaking that narrative of him being bad or just unsuccessful. But he's come in on 3 days rest. He's gotten a two-out save. and pitched great in a 1-0 victory in Game 2. So you got to give credit to the Dodgers, but you also got to wonder when the Cubs are going to wake up.
Yeah, Dodgers are rolling right now. And if the Dodgers get another victory tomorrow, the Cubs are going to be in a lot of danger because Dodgers are going to be able to send Kershaw back out there. And the way he's been pitching, it's not a guy you want to see right now. He's going to make you he's trying to make everyone respect him this postseason, it appears, and to show that he can handle this pressure, and he's really writing a new narrative to his story here. But the Dodgers they look very loose. They look like they have no pressure on them. I think they've had pressure on them the last few years to be the team to beat because they had such a stellar rotation with Greinke and Kershaw at the top. They had a pretty good offense, and now they're the underdogs. They look comfortable, and they're just putting nice at-bats together against the Cubs pitching. And they look ready to go. Also, Corey Seager is making people say, hey, the Cubs aren't the only ones with good young players. Both him and Jock Peterson are actually saying that. They're having really good postseason so far. And Jock Peterson's actually the guy who I believe got their only run against Kershaw, or was that a different game? I don't remember. But Dodgers definitely have showed up so far, and the Cubs are going to have to wake up here.
Did you talk about Game 2? Because that was Adrian Gonzalez hit that home run.
That's right. I'm talking about the Seager home run against the Nationals, I think. It was against Scherzer.
Okay.
Peterson.
Yeah, gotcha. Peterson. The Cubs definitely need to get back to that kind of game one. They need to get runs scored in the game because they can outscore guys. And I guess it's a little easier to hit home runs at Wrigley Field, but that grand slam was pretty crazy.
It was. For that, who knows, Dodgers could be up 3-0 here.
Right. Oh, yeah. But definitely in those first two games were really good.
Yeah, most definitely. I think that this series is going to go all seven. And who knows who's going to take it at that point. But kind of running out of time here. So before we get to our hot tweets and stuff, at this point, who do you like in the World Series right now?
I guess as it stands, I still got to go Cubs for the National League. If the Dodgers win again, win the next game, then that probably changes. But I'd go Cubs and I guess Indians.
All right. I'm gonna go with the teams that are up right now, Dodgers and Cleveland, and I think if we got to that point, I think that it's the Dodgers' year, so we'll have to see.
Yeah, that'd be quite a story, a little unexpected.
Yeah, most definitely a lot of
especially with all the things they went through, Kershaw missing. Right, yeah. Greinke leaving, Kershaw missing a good chunk of the year. Just seems like they were, you know, with...
New manager.
Yeah, right. New manager, new general manager recently. Just it seems like they're still kind of in a transition period, but could very well do it.
Yeah, they're in a very good spot now. So, all right, let's get to our hot tweets. You got a hot tweet this week?
Hot tweet, yeah. Ready for this?
Yeah.
Dontari Poe has as many touchdowns as Green Bay's running backs, tight ends, and Randall Cobb combined this season.
Ooh, nice. All right. Well, that's bad for Green Bay.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. All right.
But now they have Niall Davis, so it's all good.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. They do. Niall Davis and Eddie Lacy. They can go eat cheeseburgers together.
Well, Eddie Lacy is hurt for a while, but so it's going to be all Niall all the time for the time being.
All right, be ready for two fumbles a game. Well, cause they'll pull them. My hot tweet is I changed it right before the show started. I saw this from ESPN Chicago Cubs. It said the Cubs have not been shut out in back-to-back games since May 27, 28 of 2014. So, yeah. That's fun.
Yeah. Yeah, they should score runs.
Yes, that would help them win.
Sounds easy enough, right?
Hey, definitely. Let's go to our hot picks here. Kind of a slow week this week. So going a little hockey here. Thursday night at 6:30, we have the 2-0 Avalanche taking on the 2-0 Tampa Bay Lightning. It's in Tampa Bay. Who you got?
Give me the Lightning.
All right. I'm taking
for
the Lightning.
No reason in particular.
Because, Mike lives there.
Right. There you go. Shout out to Mike.
Yeah. Woo. All right. let's go to games that we actually know here. Number 6, Texas A&M, 6-0, going into Tuscaloosa to face number 1, Alabama, who's just at 7-0. It's Saturday at 2:30. Who you like?
There's really no reason not to go – there's really no reason to go against Alabama here. They looked as complete as they have all year against probably the best team they've played all year last week. So, yeah, I'd expect them to win even if it's a little closer.
Yeah, Roll Tide. I think that they're going to get it done. The last time they faced Trevor Knight, he absolutely took them apart, and I just think that they'll – I know it's different players now, but I think they'll remember that, and that's not – it's going to be a long day for Trevor Knight.
Yeah. Defense, no joke. All right, I guess next up we've got a Big 12 matchup. TCU and West Virginia. West Virginia still trying to be a playoff team. So who you got there?
Yeah, West Virginia, only undefeated team left in Big 12. Really the only one with the shot. But that shot ends on Saturday. I'm taking TCU.
I'm going to agree with you there. I'm also going with TCU.
All right, what's our last one?
And then the game of the week. On Monday Night Football. Texans and Broncos. Who you got there? And Osweiler's return. I am also going to take the Broncos. They're basically the same team. Good defenses and questionable quarterbacks. The Broncos should just be a little better.
Yep. All right, who's your upset real quick?
I'm going to take Texas Tech over Oklahoma.
Oh, gross. I'm going to take the Eagles over the Vikings on Sunday.
Why is that gross?
I don't know. I just both teams.
Oh, yeah?
Winston's
going
to
knock
program.
Off? Okay. What?